Inflation is up to a 40-year high. And right now, Biden is looking to point fingers at industries and Republicans without taking meaningful action toward the economy. So says U.S. Senate candidate Justin Olson. He is running for senator position in the state of Arizona. And Justin, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sure. I'm Jerry Nukin. This is Vocal Point. So let's start with the subject of inflation. I mean, this is, would you say this is basically Biden's doing in the last year?
Absolutely. You know, the government has taken the problem from bad to worse. The government created the supply shock by telling folks that they couldn't go to work, by shutting down industries. And then they made that problem worse by subsidizing unemployment. So folks are earning more staying at home than they can earn by showing up to work. And so you've got a labor shortage. And then what did they do in light of this supply shock? Well, they stimulated demand with stimulus checks and they exacerbated the problem. Well, now we've got the highest inflation rate that our country has seen in 39 years. Gas is up in some places 58%. Meat and eggs up by nearly 30%. It's getting harder and harder for hardworking Americans to put food on the table and to provide well for their families because of the failed policies of the Biden administration.
And I understand that, okay, here's one of your press release points. Biden announced a plan to target a handful of meatpacking companies over rising meat prices. So he's basically blaming the meatpacking companies. Hey, you're increasing these prices. That's unfair.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, it's the government's runaway spending that's leading to this runaway inflation. But that's the natural response of the liberals, is to blame the economy rather than recognizing that it's their failed policies. You know, it reminds me of what Ronald Reagan said when he told us that, you know, in this current crisis, government is not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem. We just need the government to get out of the way and let the private sector flourish and do what it does best, grow the economy and get Arizonans and Americans back to work.
Now, I understand you were appointed by Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona. In October 2017, you were appointed to the Arizona Corporation Commission. What is that? And, you know, how did it work out for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So before that, I served in the state legislature. I've got a proven conservative record. I cut taxes. I balanced the budget. I defunded Planned Parenthood, defunded Obamacare, got an A rating from the National Rifle Association. Then I was appointed to the Corporation Commission and then ran in 2018 and won this statewide election where I have the responsibility of establishing the rates for our public utilities and also overseeing corporations, the pipeline safety, railroad safety. It's an important responsibility. And one of the accomplishments I've had in this position is I enacted a rule that said we recognize even before the Supreme Court ruling last week that the Biden vaccine mandate was 100% unconstitutional. And so I passed a rule at the Corporation Commission that said any of the corporations under our jurisdiction shall not comply with this rule, shall not make a condition of employment that an employee receives a vaccine against their will. We told the Biden administration and their unconstitutional mandate to pound sand.
Interesting. Okay, a comment, if you would, on Build Back Better. Here is more spending by the Biden administration. Wouldn't that just kind of make the problems all worse as far as inflation are concerned?
You're absolutely right. You know, they call it Build Back Better. I call it Build Back Bankrupt, because that's what this bill would have done. I was very pleased to see Senator Joe Manchin say, look, this is a line in the sand that we cannot cross. We've got a $29 trillion debt that we're passing on to our kids and our grandkids. We've got to stop making the problem worse. And that's what this bill would have done. You know, my opponent for the United States Senate race voted for this $3.5 trillion spending plan that was even too high for many in his own party to support, because it's going to exacerbate the problem. It's going to bankrupt our children's future. We've got to go in a different direction. We've got to stand for fiscal responsibility, for balanced budgets, so that we can pass on a strong and a free country to our kids and our grandkids.
All right. How about if we talk about just some miscellaneous issues and you can just kind of tell us where you stand on these things? For example, the filibuster.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the filibuster has a long-standing history in our country. Our founding fathers anticipated that the Senate would be the cauldron where the passionate legislation that was enacted by the popular voice in the House would come to cool off and to be evaluated and scrutinized, and only the most appropriate legislation would then be successful and make it out of the Senate and into law if signed by the president. So I think that we should protect that heritage and that tradition in the Senate of honoring the filibuster. And I'm very pleased that Kyrsten Sinema stood firm against her party and said, we're not going to have one party rule. We're not going to eliminate the filibuster, adopt H.R. 1 to have federal takeover of our elections. We're going to maintain the history of the Senate, and that is that there needs to be a substantial amount of support for legislation to pass the Senate in order to overcome the filibuster.
Can you comment about that? You just mentioned the bill, H.R. 1, the left's push basically to federalize elections. The Constitution gives the authority to the states and the states' legislatures as far as, you know, the elections. That could not be more clear. It's in Article 1. I just looked at it today and even, you know, mentioned it in a particular column I was working on. What are your thoughts on H.R. 1?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's unconstitutional, and it's the Democrats' desire to have one party rule. If they can't win at the ballot box, they're going to change the rules in order to enact the rules that they think will make it easier for them to turn out the votes that they want to show up on election day. And many folks are saying that it's because they're going to be getting rid of rules that make it easy to vote and hard to cheat. You know, that's what I've advocated for here in Arizona. We need policies in place that build confidence in the outcomes of our elections. Policies like universal voter ID verification mandate for every ballot that's cast. We need to know that every ballot that's included in the count was cast by a legitimate voter. That's what we should be supporting. You know, we actually have a mandate here in Arizona that folks that vote at the polling places show an ID. And did you know that the federal government told Arizona that we cannot require folks to show an ID? If they choose, they can request a federal-only ballot and cast that ballot without showing their ID. It doesn't include any of the state offices, but only the federal offices. And that's something that bothers me. The federal government should not be putting that mandate on the states. We should, in fact, require this voter ID verification for every ballot that is cast. So I'm going to be a champion for election integrity at the federal level. I'm going to fight against H.R. 1. At the state level, I voted to ban ballot harvesting, and so that we could eliminate these abilities of folks to fraudulently impact our elections.
What would you say to the charge that voter ID laws are supposedly racist?
I think that it's patronizing to any community to tell that community that expecting them to have an ID to cast a ballot is somehow too difficult for that community. And yet that's what the radical left is arguing. It's absolutely false. You know, you've got to have a vaccine passport to eat at a restaurant in New York, but you don't need an ID to cast a ballot to elect the leaders of our country. It's absolutely ridiculous. These are common sense reforms that are overwhelmingly supported by the American people. They're reforms that make it easy to vote and hard to cheat so that we can have confidence in the outcomes of our elections.
Excellent. Okay, what are your comments about the 2020 election? And that's almost a morass, but basically, what can we learn from the 2020 elections, especially in terms of some of the questions about, you know, some of the, like the ballot harvesting and, you know, irregularities, to put it nicely?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, here in Arizona, we saw irregularities not only in the 2020 election, but also in 2018. You know, I was on the ballot in 2018, and four out of our nine statewide Republican candidates fell short ultimately in the outcome of the election in 2018. But on election night, the AP called all four of those races for the Republican candidates. And the AP doesn't make that decision lightly. They have a significant amount of analysis that goes into making that decision. And they, along with all of us that were observing the count of these ballots, observed that the outstanding ballots, that it would be a statistical anomaly for those to flip the outcomes of those elections. And yet the Democrats all said, no, wait, wait, these races are too close to call, because they knew what they had done. They had harvested ballots. They had dropped off crates full of ballots at the polling places, and they anticipated that those ballots would change the outcome of the election. Now, as I mentioned, I had voted to ban ballot harvesting in Arizona. So this was already against the law for these folks to harvest these ballots and drop them off at the polling places. But unfortunately, it was not enforced by the election officials. So at a minimum, they broke that law. And then we saw that these outstanding ballots ultimately did change the outcome of the election. We saw the same result in 2020. And this is something that is very frustrating to all of us. We need to have confidence in the outcome of our elections. And that's why I'm championing a voter ID verification requirement for all ballots that are cast, even those that are submitted through the mail, which is the overwhelming majority here in Arizona.
Okay, Arizona is a border state. Comment on Biden's porous borders.
Oh my gosh, it's been an absolute disaster what's taking place at the border. You know, Trump demonstrated that his policies were extraordinarily effective at gaining operational control of the border. He put in place the Remain in Mexico policy for asylum seekers. And this was so effective because the folks that wanted to claim asylum needed to stay in their country of origin or Mexico, if that's where they were at the time they were making their claim. And instead, the Biden administration repealed this highly effective policy, and folks were able to come in, cross the border illegally, and say the magic words that they're seeking asylum. They were then released into the interior. They didn't need to show up for their court date because they already got what they were after, entry into the United States. And it led to an absolute amount of chaos at the border. The criminal arrests by the Border Patrol this year alone are up 341% because of this chaos at the border. The Border Patrol is entirely overwhelmed. And this is dangerous for American communities because it's created this cover for the drug cartels. And the drug cartels are trafficking in substances that are killing Americans. Fentanyl trafficked across our border is up 134% this year alone. This is something that absolutely has to be stopped. It is a crisis that's killing Americans, and it's dangerous for our communities. But not only is it dangerous for American communities, it's a humanitarian crisis as well. The federal government's failed policies are enticing immigrants to put themselves in harm's way, and worse yet, to put their infant children in harm's way. It breaks my heart to see these small children being dropped over the border wall and abandoned by the drug cartels in the desert. This is something that should not be happening in the United States of America. We've got to change course, and it's because of the failed policies of the Biden administration that are enabled by his supporters in the Senate, like Mark Kelly.
Okay, we have about 1 minute left. Crime and punishment.
Yeah, you know, we've got to make sure that we support our law enforcement. The radical left's cries to defund the police are dangerous. We've got to back the blue and ensure that we have law and order in our communities and safe communities for all of our residents.
Abortion.
You know, I've been 100% pro-life. When I was in the state legislature, I introduced legislation to defund Planned Parenthood in Arizona, and then I got it passed. Governor Brewer signed that legislation into law, and it was an honor to take on the abortion industry that's currently receiving 40% of their budget from the government. We've got to stop that.
Wow. Okay, well, we have about half a minute left. Your last pitch that you want to say, and by the way, your website is votejustinolson.com. Olson is O-L-S-O-N.
That's absolutely right. I'd be honored to have the support of your audience. The fight for Republican control of the Senate runs straight through Arizona. If we're going to win this battle and create a stronger defense against the radical left and the damage they're trying to inflict on our country, we've got to win Arizona, and we can do that. I'm the proven conservative in this race. I've taken on the establishment. I've taken on Planned Parenthood and Obamacare. I've got an A rating from the National Rifle Association. I'll be a proven conservative. I'll fight relentlessly for secure borders, the right to life, and the Second Amendment. I'd be honored to have your support.
Justin Olson, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you so much, Jerry. It's been a pleasure. You have a great afternoon.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.